弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace to you, brothers and sisters.
只剩三天，2008年就要走进历史了。
Only 3 days left in the year of 2008.
我们怎么来看过去的这一年呢？
How should we view this past year?
每一年的年中，在日本，总要选票选出一个看字，一个汉字，来代表当年啊、日本的国内外啊、政治的、经济的、社会的啊、各样的状况啊、它的整体表现啊。今年呢是哪一个字呢？变。
Every year at year's end, the Japanese has a custom. They will vote and choose a kanji, which is actually a Chinese word, to describe the happenings of that year.And the word they chose for 2008 is the word on the screen, the word change.
12月12日在京都的一个、神社叫清水寺，那个负责人在白纸上就写了这么一个大字，就是变这个字。这个字包括了很多事，很多事。
Indeed, on December 12th, in a major monastery in Kyoto, the chief monk wrote this word on a piece of paper, scroll, with calligraphy. And this describes their feeling for the past year.
这不是他自己想出来的，这超过12万人票选出来的这个字。
This word is chosen by ballot.
这个字代表在日本来说首相、更替了。那么就国外来说、对他们来说国外啊。奥巴马当选了，你知道奥巴马的他的竞选语言是什么 ？Change we can, change 变。
Of course, for the Japanese, one of their major changes was a change in the prime minister, but they also reacted to the president-elect Obama, whose slogan was "We can change."
那么今年的金融危机我们已经听了太多了，谁知道股票会这样的暴跌呢？
Of course, we are tired of hearing about the drop in the Dow.
对日本来说，谁知道日元会这样暴升呢？
The Japanese could never imagine that the yen will raise in value so much.
在日本的年轻人的眼中，2008年变化太快。我想，不光是日本的年轻人，我们在座的，我全世界这个注意的都有这种的感觉，太快，太负面了。
To the many Japanese youths, they feel that change came too fast and it came in a negative way. But perhaps this is true for most of the young people of the world.
我们只能期待2009年、会也是变，但是变得更好一点。可是不一定，一般的说法说 that before it's getting better, 好一点，会 getting worse, 会更坏。
Perhaps our wish is for the 2009 to be changed for the better.There is no guarantee that this will happen.
前几天在回到教会路上，在广播听到，连日本的丰田这个啊、这个 automaker， 他们今年也是大亏本。
In fact, when I was coming to the church one day, I heard on the radio the biggest news of all that Toyota, in the first time in history, did not make a profit.
1940年以来。Toyota 公司从来没有亏过本的，今年要亏大本了。
From the beginning of their company, they have never lost money until this year.
那本田呢 ？Honda 呢？也一样。
Similarly, Honda also experienced the same thing.
各位知道，那就不用讲在美国的 Big Three 了。
We do not need to mention the three big automakers in the U.S.
所以，怎么样形容我们现在的心情呢？
So how then shall we describe how we feel?
我都想到1939年，当德国纳粹9月1号入侵这个波兰的时候，那一年过了几天，英国跟日本就对德国就宣战了，所谓二次大战就开始了。
I am reminded of what happened in 1939, September 1st, when the Nazis from Germany invaded Poland.And within 2 to 3 days, the Second World War occurred.
这场人类有史以来规模最大、伤亡最惨重、破坏最大的二次大战就展开了。
In the history of men, this world war perhaps was the greatest event with the largest amount of casualties and destruction.
那一年的圣诞节, 英王 George the Sixth, 乔治六世, 他对英国人有这样的演说。
And during the Christmas of 1939, King George the Sixth made the following speech to the British people and the world.
他演说的最后是他这样说的, 他说新的这一年就在眼前了,我们不知道前面将如何, 如果带来和平,我们将何等的感恩, 如果继续在struggle,继续作战, 我们就必须持守勇气跟这个同时, 我们要从底下的诗句得到一些激励。
A new year is at hand. We cannot tell what it will bring. If it brings peace, how thankful we shall all be. If it brings us continued struggle, we shall remain undaunted. In the meantime, I feel that we may all find a message of encouragement in the following lines.
我们当然现在不是在所谓的二大战的期间，但是那个充满不确定的焦虑的情况其实是差不多一样的。
Even though we are not currently in a world war, but perhaps the kind of feelings are similar.
George VI, 他, King George the Sixth, 他quote的诗是这样说的。
And then King George the Sixth continued and quoted a poem. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.
他说,来吧,走入黑暗,将你的手交给全能的上帝。
But he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God.
这比光更好,比你所熟知的路更安全。
That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.
King George, 他最后说,愿全能的手引导我们,托住我们。
And then King George the Sixth ended by saying, may the mighty hand of God guide and uphold us.
我们一同来祷告。
Now let's pray.
亲爱的主耶稣,我们把我们个人,把我们的整个社会,国家,市局都交托在主的手中。
Our dear Lord Jesus, we place ourselves, our families, our country, and the world into your hands.
在充满变化的时代当中,你是那不变的那一位。
In this rapidly changing times, we are comforted that you are unchangeable.
你的全能不改变,你的爱不改变,我们感谢你。
Your authority and your love does not change, and for that we praise you.
你的供应也是不改变。
You have continued to supply us.
我们在主面前恭敬地把自己交托给你。
We continue to place ourselves reverently into your hands.
靠耶稣基督圣名祷告。
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
我给我们大家的题目是到摩利亚山要有多远。
The topic of my sermon that I've chosen is How Far to Mount Moriah?
就亚伯兰来说,当时他住在别示巴。
Abraham at that time was living in Beersheba.
在巴勒斯坦南边叫南地的那个地方。
It is in the southern regions of Palestine.
拿直线的距离来说,离Mount Moriah,这摩利亚山,也就是现在的这个西安山,建圣殿,造圣殿的地方,大概50英里左右。
If he traveled in a straight line, Mount Moriah, which is currently known as Mount Zion, or the mount on top of Jerusalem, it's about 50 miles.
那么大概有多远呢? 如果从波士顿出发的话, 大概到New Hampshire南边的叫做 Monadnock 这个mountain 那么远
To put it into some context for ourselves, 50 miles is about the distance from Boston to New Hampshire's Monadnock State Park.
我们当中一定有人爬过那个山，对不对？你在山头可以看到，远远看到 Boston。
Perhaps many of you have climbed this mountain, and on a good day, you can see the skylines of Boston from on top of that mountain.
你可以想象亚伯拉罕带他的儿子，带着驴，带着两个仆人，从 Boston 慢慢走，走三天，到了刚刚说 Monadnock 那个山上去。
So you can imagine, perhaps, how Abraham and his two servants with his son traveled with mules and donkeys for 3 days from Boston to Monadnock State Park.
我们要问几个问题。我们在这里要问几个问题。
And we need to ask a few questions when we look at this passage.
为什么上帝要亚伯拉罕来献以撒？
Obviously, the first question is, why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac?
还要走那么远的地方?
And he has to go such a long distance to do it.
因为上帝要试验亚伯拉罕。
The scriptures was very clear. It says God wanted to test Abraham.
你不是说上帝是无所不知、无所不能的吗？他为什么还要试验亚伯拉罕呢？
You will respond, doesn't God know everything? Isn't he omnipotent? Why does he have to test Abraham?
对上帝来说，他不知道亚伯拉罕对神的信心吗？
Does God not know the depth of Abraham's faith?
上帝当然知道。
Of course God knows.
但是为什么还要试验呢？
So why did God test Abraham?
而且这个试验呢，是很残酷的试验。
And this is seemingly a cruel test.
我想我们没有办法代替上帝来回答。
I'm sorry, but we are not God, so we cannot answer that question properly.
真正的信仰是要对我们来说，对信徒来说需要受试验的。
But we realize that a true faith can only exist through testing.
这个试验其实是非常难受的。
This indeed was a difficult test.
所以上帝试验亚伯拉罕，上帝也试验你跟我。
So we can say, the same way that God has tested Abraham, God will test us today.
前面固然有提到上帝要提到要赐福亚伯拉罕，但是亚伯拉罕必须过这一关，就是上帝的试验这一关。
Indeed, if you read the scriptures before this, God promised a lot of blessing upon Abraham.
第一节说他呼叫他说亚伯拉罕，亚伯拉罕说我在这里。
But before he can receive the blessing, he has to be tested. And in verse 1 we see God testing Abraham and calling to him, and Abraham replying, Here I am, Lord.
我们看中了圣经提到说上帝呼叫，好像我们很难的很自然的结论就是上帝命令，其实这个地方它的原来句子是非常的有意思。
Perhaps when you first think of God testing Abraham that this would be coming as an order, but if you read the original language it actually isn't an order.
其实上帝对亚伯拉罕这里的呼叫，这总共全部这一段有三次的呼叫，在这里的呼叫其实是非常 gentle， 很像朋友一样告诉亚伯拉罕啊，哎，我求你啊，请你好不好啊？甚至有一个说这个是 beg， 哎，你要不要考虑一下，把你的儿子这个到我指示的地方把他献给我了。
In fact, in this passage, God called to Abraham three times, and the word used here to say to Abraham is actually a very gentle usage of the word. It even connotates some sense of begging Abraham.Can you do this? Excuse me.
上帝试验亚伯拉罕，他没有拿个枪说你非听我不可，不然我把你毙了，他没有这样说。
God did not order Abraham to do this with a gun to his head.
好像更多是商量说，哎，你要不要考虑一下？哇，这样的上帝跟亚伯拉罕这样说话。
It's almost like a negotiation between friends. Can you do this as a favor to me?
当亚伯拉罕说，我在这里。他就停了就走了。
Abraham responded by saying, "Here I am," and then he obeyed.
所以从3节到10节 就看到亚伯兰他如何来回应上帝的试验。
From verses 3 to 10, we see how Abraham responded to this test from God.
第一节他对神说我在这里。第七节他对他的儿子说我儿我在这里。都提到我这个字。
In verse 1, Abraham said, "Here I am." And in verse 7, he responded to his son by saying, "Here I am."
上帝呼召我们，要我们做这个事，服侍那件事情。我们说，我在这里，这个我不是那么容易可以说出来的。
Sometimes it's very difficult for us under testing to say to God, "Here I am."
你回答上帝的话说，我在这里吗？
Can you respond to God's test to say, "I am here, here I am"?
接着第三节连续六个动作。
And then in verse 3, we see 6 actions.
那么第二节神说你带着你的儿子，你独生的儿子，你所爱的以撒，那么亚伯拉罕第二天清晨就出发了。
You see God saying here, "Take your son, your only son, the son that you love." And in verse 3, early in the next morning, Abraham got up and obeyed.
也许我们可以再回过来先看第二节。
Perhaps we should come back to verse 2 right now.
上帝说你带着你的儿子，你独生的儿子，你所爱的以撒，三次这样的说，越讲越到最后就没有什么选择，就是以撒了，不是别人了。
You see how God said, "Take your son, your only son, the son that you love," and that points to Isaac and no one else.
如果上帝只讲这句话，带你的儿子，那么亚伯兰会怎么想？哦，赶快，21章那里那个夏甲带着这个以实玛利已经倒发到旷野去，赶紧追回来，就是以实玛利了。我献以实玛利可不可以啊？不可以啊！啊，说你爱的独一的儿子就是你以撒，所以越来越清楚。
If God only said, "Take your son to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him," maybe Abraham can say, "Oh, okay, I'll go get Ishmael instead." But God was very clear here, he wanted Isaac.
哦，或者找一个仆人呢，全当一下，可不可以啊？
Can I use a servant instead?
那再不然我好不好？老命可以赔上，可以不可以？
Can I offer myself in his stead?
哇，不，是你爱的这个就是以撒，就他。
But God was very clear, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, Isaac himself.
长夜漫漫，不知道那个晚上亚伯拉罕怎么睡觉的，我们不知道。
It must have been a long night for Abraham. I don't know how he could have slept.
说他睡不着的时候，第二天赶清早就赶快起来了。
Perhaps he never fell asleep, and so early in the next morning, when dawn broke, he got up.
啊，做了六件事情，亚伯拉罕一句话都没有说。哪六件事情？起来，背上驴，带着两个仆人，劈好柴，起身去了。
The 6 actions was getting up, saddling his donkey, taking his servants and Isaac, cutting wood, and then setting off.
你知道，如果不讲话，只动作，那个、心里头翻脚翻腾啊，那可厉害了，对不对？
You notice he did not say a word during all these actions, and you can tell the turmoil inside.
我当然这圣经没有详细的描述，但正因为没有详细的描述，我们可以想象亚伯拉罕的心情是很复杂的心情。
Even though the scriptures do not tell us what's going through Abraham's mind, we could imagine very vividly what's going through his mind and his heart.
还不是马上，还要走三天的路程呢。
And this journey takes 3 days.
对亚伯拉罕来说，一个至少115岁了哈。如果以撒是15岁的话，亚伯拉罕是115岁的老人，还要走3天的路程，真是举步维艰呐。
If indeed Isaac is about 15 years old right now, then Abraham would be 115 years old. For such an elderly person to go on a journey of 3 days, it must have been difficult.
如果换上我，我就自己，我把自己历史现在在这里，我就献上就可以了。If
I were Abraham, I would bargain with God. Why can't I just sacrifice Isaac right here?
有一句就是汪精卫年轻时候说了：“引刀成一块，不负少年头。”我自己献给你，可不可以？马上现在，多痛快啊！
Perhaps easier just to do it right away.
不，要走三天的路程。But
no, the challenge was that 3 days journey.
到摩利亚山要有多远？要走三天的路程。Takes
3 days to travel to Mount Moriah.
如果太远了，亚伯拉罕走了半路走不下去了，哎，这是你的事啊，这是上帝的事，不是我的事啊，就三天。
If the journey was longer, then perhaps Abraham can just, you know, walk for a few days and say, I can't go on anymore, Lord, so I can't fulfill what your order is. But God gave him just 3 days.
所以三天是可以让亚伯兰一步走的时候可以好好思考到底这是什么意思。
So throughout those 3 days, I think must be going through Abraham's mind all the time. What is going on?
到了第五节，这样说的。到了山脚下，第四节说，到了第三天，亚伯拉罕举目就远远看见那个地方。第五节，亚伯拉罕对他仆人说：“你们和驴子，你们就两个仆人，在这里等候。我跟童子去那里拜拜，就回来。”Verse
4 says, On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So he told his servants, Stay here with the donkey. While I and the boy will go over there.
这句话说得可轻松了。It
sounded like very light words.
我与童子去那里拜拜就回来。回来是谁回来?
He says, I and the boy will go over there, we will worship, and we will come back. Who will be coming back?
上帝要我把我的儿子献为燔祭，burn，全烧了。 我跟他回来，我去crematory去把骨灰带回来，是不是？
This is going to be a burnt offering. So if Abraham's coming back with Isaac, then Isaac will be just ashes.
我与童子去那里拜，我们就回来了。Here
it seems to be very light-hearted. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we will come right back.
6节到8节是亚伯拉罕跟他的儿子。 走了从山下一直到山上，二人同行，两次出现，这是最艰难的一条路。
Verse 6 to 8, it says that Abraham and Isaac went on by themselves, and twice it says the two of them went on together.
过去这几天，大概那个烧燔祭的那个木材，可架在驴子上面。现在呢，是以撒自己背的木材，亚伯拉罕一手拿着刀。 一手拿着什么？一手拿着刀，那么一直拿着一把火。During
the 3 days, the wood was probably carried by the donkey, but now the wood has to be carried by Isaac on his back, and in Abraham's hands was a torch and a knife.
以撒就说话了，他说：“父亲啊！”亚伯拉罕说：“我儿，我在这里。”Isaac
said, "Father." And Abraham says, Yes, my son, here I am.
请看，火跟柴都有了，但是燔祭的羊羔在哪里呢？他不知道，就是他呀。So
Isaac asked, We have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He had no clue that he is the sacrificial lamb.
我不知道如果你是以撒了会问。 真的在哪里啊? 会不会是我呀? 逃走了，对不对?
If you were Isaac, you would probably figuring out something's not right here. You may drop the wood and run away.
现在这个teenage的 run away的孩子可多了，对不对?
I guess running away for youth is not an unusual thing.
没想到亚伯拉罕说，我儿，神必自己预备做燔祭的羊羔。
But Abraham responded by saying, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.
亚伯拉罕为什么可以对儿子说神自己必预备呢？神必自己预备呢？
How can Abraham say this, that God himself will provide the lamb?
这个地方就看到亚伯拉罕信心了。
Here we see the faith of Abraham.
因为从前面12章、15章、17章，另外19章那里，上帝一再的跟他说，你的后裔要多如天上的星、海边的沙那么多。那哪一个后裔？就是以撒拉。所以神自己会预备。
Because we know in previous chapters, God promised Abraham time and again that his descendants will number more than the stars in heaven and the sand on the beach. And all this has to come from Isaac.
但是在这里我们可以看到这个年老的父亲对这个要献为这个燔祭的儿子，这个中间的对话，那个 tension 是很强的。亚伯拉罕心里一定是五内翻腾。
But we can sort of sense the tension between father and son during this conversation.
当他对儿子说神必自己预备的时候，他的信心是这样的强大。我们在问，到底从哪里来的？
We begin to wonder how, where does Abraham's faith come from that he can say God himself will provide the lamb?
所以我想他这个信心大过各样的恐惧。
His faith overcame any fear.
Soren Kierkegaard, 这个19世纪的丹麦的哲学家也是神学家，他有写一本小册子叫做Fear and Trembling, 提到这件事情。
Indeed, the Danish theologian and philosopher Kierkegaard,has written a small booklet, Fear and Trembling, about this story.
这是超越一个理性或者道德的范围的。
This now has transcended the realm of ethics.
这也是逼你到一个绝境，你要不要跳下去？
Now you're faced with a chasm, and you have to decide whether you're going to take a leap of faith.
亚伯拉罕信上帝的信心到一个程度，他知道上帝一定会预备，即便把这个儿子献给他，照神的指示的地方，指示的方法，他也可以得回这个儿子。
Abraham trusted God. He knew that even if he had to kill his own son and offer him up as a burnt offering, that somehow God will work it out.
希伯来书第十一章十七节到十九节是这样说的。
Indeed, if we come to the book of Hebrews, the writer here interpreted this incident for us in chapter 11.
从十七节到十九节。
From verse 17 to 19.
亚伯拉罕因着信被试验的时候，就把以撒献上，这便是那欢喜领受应许的，欢喜领受应许的，将自己独生的儿子献上。
By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son.
十八节说，论到这个儿子，曾经有话说，从以撒生的才要称为你的后裔。
Even though God himself said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.
这是你说过了，你跟我说过了，对不对？
These are your words, God.
所以十九节说，他以为神还能叫人从死里复活，他也仿佛从死中得回他的儿子来。
And that's why in verse 19, the writer of Hebrews says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
所以到第九节，他们到了神所指示的地方，亚伯拉罕在那里就筑坛，把柴摆好，捆绑他的儿子以撒放在柴上。
So in Genesis chapter 22 verse 9, When they reached the place that God had told him, Abraham built an altar. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar.
亚伯拉罕自从他从乌尔出来到了哈兰一直到了巴勒斯坦一路上到了应许之地的时候他就开始的主坛的人生到这里如果你好好记载了至少是第五次记载主坛了但是这一次特别不一样
If you read about the life of Abraham when he left the land of Ur to travel to the promised land you will realize that he tends to build altarsAnd this is the fifth altar that he has built.
亚伯拉罕人生是主坛的人生，到哪里他主坛求告耶和华名。到了第二十一章末了，这里又提到说他在别示巴在那里求告永生神的名。
Indeed, the life of Abraham is a life of building altars where he beseeched the Lord. And indeed, later on, you see he built an altar in Beersheba.And beseech the Lord.
我喜欢圣经讲到亚伯拉罕的主坛的人生，来描绘我们的人生也是一样。
And I love to think about our lives as similar to that of Abraham.
因为我们拿不定今年在这里，明年或者往后十年是不是聚在 Boston， 也是上帝呼召你回到中国，或者回到台湾，或者到外州去工作。可是不管你到哪里。请务必仍然逐祭坛向神献祭。
None of us can really know whether next year we will still be in Boston. Maybe we'll be going to China, to Taiwan, to a different state, or anywhere else in the world. But I pray that we will continue to have a life where we will worship God.
我们不好说在 CBCB Lexington 这边才是我们在这里可以敬拜比如到了别的地方啊，跟我们这个 CBCB 味道很不一样我不敬拜神了我们不好这样说
We should not have the attitude that we can only worship God here in the Chinese Bible Church of Greater Boston
我们要到第三个问题了
We're coming to the third question
那么上帝怎样啊？这亚伯拉罕献以撒这个故事到底告诉我们什么
？What does this story really tell us？
在这个之前，我们先看两张图。亚伯拉罕献以撒啊，在绘画史上有两个人画得非常好哈，我都很喜欢啊。也许我们可以看一下。
Before we go to that, maybe I can show you two paintings that depicts this story。
我不可不可以要求一下把灯把它。特别这个灯把它弄关掉，我下面同工可以帮忙关。是的，还这张图是十五世纪叫做 Caravaggio 这位意大利的画家你看可以有巴洛克的味道哈。他所画的，他活得很短，他在三几岁就过世了，1610年就过世了。他画了一张图。
This painting is painted by an Italian painter.Who was actually quite young when he died. He died in his 30s.
这张图里头我们看到亚伯拉罕献以撒，以撒呢有点惊慌的味道哈。那么天使抓着他的手你不可以杀他。
Here you can see the expression on Isaac's face. Seemingly he is very fearful, but the angel was holding on to the hand of Abraham.
在图的右边，各位现在可能看得不是很清楚啊。那是公山羊在那里。
To the right of the painting, perhaps not very clear to you, you can actually see the ram.
第二张图是大家都很熟悉的，是 Rembrandt， 它是1635年画的图。
The second painting, perhaps we are more familiar with, is by Rembrandt in the 17th century.
也许这个画的我们看的时候好像不够很具体啊，原画当然很好了哈。意思就是说这样的放。天使抓他的那个手，那个刀子下来会不会扎到那个以撒呢？我看的时候怕怕了，对不对
？When I saw this painting, I kept wondering. The angel held the hand of Abraham, and he dropped the knife. And I start to worry with the knife when it dropped actually kill Isaac after all.
这张图我看不到，也许你看得到，我不知道，我看不到公山羊啊。
I can't find the ram in this picture.
这张图特别的地方是亚伯拉罕左手把他心爱的儿子，请问把什么哪个地方遮住了？把他的眼睛遮住了。
Here you see Abraham's left hand covered the face and eyes of Isaac.
哇，请问你在小时候在台湾还是中国杀过鸡杀过鸭没有？
When you were younger, perhaps in China or Taiwan, have you ever slaughtered a chicken before?
你没有把他眼睛把他扎起来？
Do you cover their eyes?
哇，我们在这里要多说一点，那个以撒呢，怎么这么乖呢？
Again, we begin to wonder, why is Isaac so timid here?
哇，圣经说以撒的人生是顺服的人生，果然是很顺服，对不对？
Indeed, the scriptures was very apt to describe Isaac as a submissive life.
我记得小时候在过年过节帮我妈妈抓鸡抓鸭的时候，满场飞都抓不到，有没有？你有没有？
I still remember it was very difficult when I was young, when my dad and mom asked me to go get the chicken or the duck. It's very difficult to catch them.
抓到最后给鸡爪抓的满脸都是，有没有？
And sometimes you would actually get clawed by the chicken.
以撒这样的顺服，就甘心的照着父亲所说的，所做的，就躺在那个木材的上面。而这个木材是他背着，背到那个山上去的。
But we see here Isaac was submissive to death. In fact, he was on the wood that he carried himself.
也许我可以在这里就可以延伸下去。以撒预表了主耶稣基督，主耶稣基督。他自己背上十字架，那为我们而死。他顺服了神的命令，就把自己的身体就献上了。
Indeed, we can see in the life of Isaac a type for the future of our Lord Jesus, who carried the cross, and he himself was hung on the cross for us.
罗马书第八章三十二节是这样说的。
In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 32.
八章三十二节，神既不爱惜自己的儿子，为我们众人舍了，岂不也把万物和他白白的赐给我们呢？八章三十二节。
In Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, If God, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things.
就好像亚伯拉罕献以撒一样，上帝他也不爱惜自己的儿子，为我们众人就舍了。
Just as Abraham gave up his own son, it's a type for us to realize how God gave his own son to die for us.
我刚刚说亚伯拉罕的人生是竹坛的人生，但是这一次的竹坛真是要命啊。
I have mentioned how Abraham's life is a life of building altars, but in this particular altar, it nearly took his own life.
当上帝来真的时候，请问你向亚伯拉罕回应他吗？
If God calls you today, how will you respond to him?
在台湾常常听这样的说法，流行这样说法。
In Taiwan, there's a popular saying.
好，我自己的教会是长老教会。长老教会常常会流行这样说。
I'm used to a Presbyterian church setting, and in the setting, they always have the saying.
那个父母亲有几个孩子，都很优秀。
Perhaps a family will have several sons and daughters, and they are all very excellent sons and daughters.
不过最小的就不怎么样。
But perhaps the youngest one is the least accomplished.
这老大很会变，思维很好，以后做律师。
The oldest one seemingly is very smart and think on his feet. Oh, he can go to law school.
老二是很 handy, 哇，做什么都很精巧，以后做外科医师。
The second one is very handy with his hands. Okay, he can become a surgeon.
哇，老三很会幻想啊，写什么东西，以后这个做文学家。
The third one is very creative. Perhaps he can be a writer.
老四呢，什么都不会，奉献做传道。
The fourth doesn't seem to be able to do anything, okay, he can go to seminary and be a preacher.
我想我就是那个最后一个。
I'm probably that youngest one.
上帝要最好的。
But our God wants the best.
不是次好的。
Not the second best.
你爱的，上帝偏偏跟你要。
The thing that you love the most is often the thing that God wants you.
我信错了，我不要信，可不可以？我们不好对神这样的 argue.
When God asks of the things that we love the most, sometimes we feel that perhaps we have trusted in the wrong God.
所以我们到了最后一点，那么上帝在亚伯兰献以他的事情上面，这段故事告诉我们什么？
So what do we really learn from this story of Abraham and Isaac?
我想真正告诉我们的是第一什么叫真正的信仰
First point is we need to understand what is true faith
上帝要求我们放弃那个最宝贵的东西献给他
When God asks us to give the thing that we count the most precious to him
甚至应许给你了上帝说我要
Even things that he has promised to give you himself.
甚至到一个地步，这个违反上帝的公义，对不对？
Even though it seems to go against the nature of God.
真正的信心是在这里不跟你 argue.
True faith does not argue with God.
你如果看十八章，那个讲到 argue, 辩论，拿上帝的公义来辩论上帝的公义，哇！这个亚伯兰可行了。
If you read earlier chapters, Abraham was fully capable of arguing with God about his justice.
当上帝要毁灭这个索罗玛、俄摩拉的时候，亚伯兰就说：“哎，无论善恶，你都要剿灭吗？如果你有五十个艺人，你要为这五十个艺人把那个城都剿灭吗？”
When Abraham found out that God wanted to destroy the city of Gomorrah and Sodom.He began to argue with God and arguing, how can you destroy both the wicked and the righteous? What if there were 50 righteous persons in those cities?
我知道你是公义的神，你不可能将将恶人跟义人同杀，将义人跟恶人一样看待，都不是你所行的。审判全地的主，岂不行公义吗？
You are a
以子之矛攻子之盾，你知道吗？
You are a righteous God. How can you destroy a city when there are some righteous people in it? So you see, he can perfectly use the nature of God against God.
所以神就说：“好吧，就城里这五十个义人，我就为这五十义人，我就不毁灭了。”
And indeed, God says, "Okay, as you said, if there were more than 50 righteous people, I will not destroy the cities."
亚伯拉罕说：“那如果少五个人，如果45个人呢？”
But then Abraham pressed on. What if there were 5 less? What if there were 45?
Okay, 如果少40个人，我也不灭。
And God said, "Okay, I will not destroy if there were over 45."
你不要生气啊，你不要生气。如果30个人呢？
And Abraham pressed on. Please don't be angry, God. What about 30?
如果20个人呢？
20.
如果10个人呢？
10.
上帝说好，我不毁灭。
And God responded in kind every time.
审判全地的主，岂不行公义吗？
God who judges the world will judge rightly.
索伦·凯克格尔说，这个信仰是 test 你，在伦理上可以 suspension， 甚至把它 hold 住，停止，是不要谈这伦理的事情了。
Indeed, Kierkegaard says God can suspend this argument and not continue.
Suspension of ethical. 那么上帝要求一个信仰是全然的顺服。
But what God wants is total submission.
到一个程度，这个非常荒谬、荒诞，对不对？
Even to a very absurd kind of condition.
这是就我们人来说，是觉得很荒诞的、荒诞的事情。
Indeed, this is using our limited intellect.
这个就是真信仰的本质。
But this is what true faith is all about.
所以我们在这里看，上帝要求我们的信仰或者说信心是没有条件 没有可能。第三，也没有所谓 trading 交易的。
Under this kind of response, there's no place for negotiation or trade.
我对你这么好，我忠心耿耿，那么换来的是这个情况，合理吗？应该吗？可能吗？我不干了，可不可以？
You cannot respond to God by saying, I've been so faithful to you all this time. How can you ask me to do this?
所以这样的真正的信心是超越伦理性，超越逻辑性，也超越我们的算计的。
So this true faith transcends our intellect, our logic, and ethics.
所以我们在这里，我们看到亚伯拉罕他表现了真正的信心。
And here we see the true faith from Abraham.
第二，什么是自由？
And secondly, we find out what is true freedom.
在一个永恒的这个 无限的神面前，人怎样一个真正的自由呢？
How can we be truly free before this God who has existed in everlasting life?
我们是自由的来跟从主。
We follow God freely.
不是因为上帝给我们什么东西，那是我们回应上帝他的要求。
Because we respond to what God has asked us.
所以在这里头，耶稣基督曾经说过，如果有人要跟从我，就当舍己，天天背起他的十字架来跟从我。我们就要用这个自由来跟随主。
Indeed, our Lord Jesus himself says, if any man come after me,Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me.
耶稣说，我心柔和谦卑，你们要负我的轭，学我的样式。
And Jesus himself says, my yoke is easy, and you should take upon yourself my yoke.
所以让我们用我们的自由来选择回应神的呼召。
And we can choose to respond to his request freely.
没有算计，甚至超越逻辑。
Not by counting the costs or by logically deducing what is right to do.
Soren Kierkegaard 又这样说：牺牲之所以为牺牲是什么意思
？Again, Kierkegaard himself says, "What is true sacrifice?"
牺牲就是那个不应该牺牲的，你跟他牺牲了，那个叫牺牲。
True sacrifice is giving up something that you should not give up.
什么是礼物？礼物是什么？为什么叫礼物
？Why do we say something is a gift?
是你不可能给他的，你给了，那个是礼物。
Something that you ought not to receive, but you did, so that is a gift.
最后我们来看一篇我很喜欢的那个短片这位叫苏这位叫 Sufzan Stevens， 可能有些人很多人喜欢很年轻当然还有另外我就不放了，连那个 Bob Dylan 1965年也写过有关亚伯拉罕献以撒的事。
Right now I'd like to show you a little clip, something that perhaps you are familiar with also.
You had raised 大方也算 Take instead the rail Until Jesus comes
大家起立，我们一起唱回应诗。Please rise, let's sing a response song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.